Welcome to the Numerologist Podcast, where we bring you a very special guest every single week to help guide you on your spiritual journey, live with abundance, and inspire your soul.
Hey, Numerologist community, Rose here. Thank you so much for joining me again this week for another episode of the Numerologist Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any of our upcoming episodes. And if you're loving the podcast, I'd really love it if you could write a review for us on iTunes or whatever service you're listening on. Now, my guest this week is someone who actually personally inspired me to chase my dreams, so I'm thrilled to be able to talk to her today. Eileen Hsu is a content creator and entrepreneur in personal growth and lifestyle design, inspiring millennials to discover their true potential and create their dream life. She's also the creator of the Artist of Life workbook, a detailed guide to creating your most inspiring and successful year, and the Daily Planner by Lavendaire, a tool to help you design a productive, effective, and meaningful day. Please join me in welcoming Eileen to the podcast. Hi, Eileen. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So you have a successful YouTube channel and business, but for our listeners who may be unfamiliar with who you are, could you tell us a bit more about yourself and Lavendaire?
Yeah, so I have a brand called Lavendaire. It's mainly a YouTube channel. We're all about personal growth and lifestyle design. My passion is helping people create their dream lives. And I share resources, tools, inspiration, life lessons, everything like that. And I also have a business where I sell stationery related to creating your dream life. So we have like a workbook, a daily planner, some notebooks. And yeah, it's really exciting to me.
And I must say, your stationery is absolutely beautiful. So I'll definitely be putting some links to in the show notes for those. Now, when you started Lavendaire, you started it partly because you noticed a lack of young people, especially in the self-help space. Yeah. YouTube. Now, over the past sort of 5 years that you've been on YouTube, have you noticed a shift? And when I'm talking about a shift, I'm talking probably about a shift in content. So is there other more creators and a shift in the collective mindset? You know, are people more, are people looking for that self-help content a bit more?
I love this question. Thank you for asking it.
That's okay.
I'm so excited because yes, there's a huge shift. When I started this channel on YouTube, I was in my early 20s. I think I was 22 or 23 at the time. And I could not talk about self-help or any of these topics to my friends because everyone was partying and the people I saw on YouTube were just beauty and fashion, or there was gaming. It just felt like there was no young people talking about these topics. And everything that I learned from, like books and blogs, were written by people much older than I was at the time. So it just felt like a weird topic. But over the past 5 or 6 years, like self-love, self-care, these terms have become so mainstream, personal growth. And it's become like, I just see it becoming so normalized, which is great because more people are talking about mental health, feeling lost, just dealing with life's challenges. And I just felt like when I was young, I didn't have people, I didn't have the resources to learn about those things or the people to talk about those things.
Yeah, wow. And it's so powerful that there are those resources out there and it is more acceptable, which is awesome. So when it comes to sort of your story about making the decision to live an incredible and fulfilling life, even if it was sort of against societal norms, one thing that you've mentioned that is that you stop trying to control every little detail. And that's sort of one thing that sort of got you to your successful life today. So how important do you think sort of letting go and surrendering to the process is for people sort of striving for that deep sense of happiness and fulfillment in life?
I mean, it's huge and it's something that like I think all of us need to learn to be better at letting go. And it's hard because there's a dichotomy of like you want to set goals, you want to control your life and steer in the direction that you choose, but there's this part of like letting go and accepting whatever happens. So I used to be all about control. Like you know, going through school, you can control how well you do, what the homework you do, how to get good grades. And I felt like my whole life, I needed to control everything. I needed to control how people felt about me, how people saw me, just all these things. And creating my dream life was a process. Like, I thought I was going to go in one direction and life took me in another direction. I never really planned to have a brand around self-help. Originally I wanted to go into music and anything creative. And I think I learned to listen to my intuition. So I think you have a vision for what you want. Then you listen to your intuition. You follow that. You take baby steps. And then as you take steps and take action, you get feedback. And then you take that feedback. And then eventually life kind of steers you in random directions. We don't know. And sometimes it happens in unfortunate events, like this pandemic that we're in. Like, mm-hmm. it's life is throwing something at us that is steering us in another direction. And it's not something completely in our control, but it's like what the best thing we can do is surrender and see where it takes us and make the best out of where we go.
Absolutely. And I think something you mentioned there that is quite important. You talked about feedback. And I mm-hmm. suppose, you know, that feedback comes, it's not just that typical sense of somebody giving you feedback, somebody giving you a positive comment and things like that. It's about understanding, you know, the feedback of how what you do in the world feeds back in different instances. It might just be, you know, little signs here and there. And I think the important thing to note is that feedback is feedback. If it's positive or negative, you should listen to it, right?
True. And it can be really hard to listen to negative feedback. And a lot mm-hmm. of us avoid it. We just try to ignore it, pretend it's not there. But yeah, we're constantly getting feedback in our lives, both positive and negative. And if you want to be smart, the first step is self-awareness, because a lot of people aren't even aware of the feedback that they're getting. And then the second step is being open to feedback and accepting it, being humble about it. Like understanding that you don't know everything. You're not the best at what you do. There's always something to learn. And yeah, I think that's my my process in life is really trial and error. Like, you don't know whether you like something or not, or whether it's going to work or not until you try it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree. Now, one thing that I really like about you is I feel like you're the poster child for sort of consistency and persistence. You know, when you started Lavender, you were sort of consistently posting on the Wednesday, even though in your first year you didn't really get much traction. But it wasn't always like that for you, was it? For your first YouTube channel, you didn't have that constant posting schedule.
I love that you know so much about me. I appreciate this.
Like I told you before, I have actually been a fan of yours for a while. So when you came on the podcast, I had a bit of a fangirl moment. I'm trying not to show it so much, but I just let the cat out of the bag, didn't I?
Oh my God, I love you. Thank you. most people don't know these things. So my story is in high school when YouTube just began, I got really inspired by seeing normal people post videos of them singing. And because I love to sing, I played piano, I started posting videos of myself singing and playing piano. So it was really a hobby from high school throughout college. And even after college, I mentioned I wanted to pursue music for some time. But my entire time doing the music channel, it was really hard to be consistent, whether it was creative blocks, not feeling motivated, or just the amount of work it takes to record a song, shoot the song, edit it, and put it out there each week. It was really hard for music. And when I started Lavender about like in 2014, I think the content itself of Lavender was easier to create. Like I was like, I can do this weekly. And I knew that because I wasn't consistent with my music channel. So I didn't give it like the best chance to grow. So when I started my second channel, I was like, I got to be consistent no matter what, even if it doesn't show results, like I'm going to be consistent and see what happens.
So how did you flip the script? Like, what was the sort of catalyst for you saying, okay, this is, because it's one thing to say you're going to be consistent. It's another thing to actually be consistent. So how did you do that? And what sort of advice would you give for people who are maybe struggling with those elements in their own life too?
Yeah. I mean, I think for one, it came out of the frustration I had at myself for not being consistent for many years in the past. Cause I had my music channel for over 5 years and I was frustrated. I was like, it has not gone anywhere because you've been so inconsistent. Like, how do you expect people to watch you if you post once and then don't post for 2 months and then post again and people forget about you? So number one, it was fueled by that experience and knowledge. And then number two, I mean, it's easier to be consistent from the beginning. When you start something new, you have a natural motivation. The hard part is to keep it going. So during that time, I was learning about meditation, and then I did this meditation challenge. It was called the Liberation Kriya. I think I learned about it from Gabrielle Bernstein, who's another creator. But that was like a meditation challenge. I think it was like 60 days where you had to meditate for 9 minutes a day in a certain position. So I committed myself to that challenge. And if you miss a day, then you have to start all over from day one. Uh-huh. So it was one of those challenges where, like, you know, I just kept starting over and over and over, but just doing that challenge successfully taught me the power of consistency, the power of patience, and just so many lessons that I think showed through my channel.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. I might have to find that channel and link it in the show notes for our listeners to have a look at too. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, with us being a numerologist podcast and a numerology and divination site, I just wanted to ask you, do you use sort of any divination tools in your life, in your practice?
Yeah, I'm actually really in love with astrology. I've been learning it for the past 2 years, but I still feel like a beginner. Like, I love looking at my birth chart, the birth chart of my family members, and I do like unofficial readings for people in my life.
I think everybody who's learning astrology, or, you know, even master astrologers, I think they secretly do readings for everybody
there's
in their
like
life.
There's so much. Yeah, there's so much to learn and so many ways you can interpret things that it's crazy.
100%.
But I also do a little bit of tarot, but it's very basic. I just use it for, like, I pick a daily card, or I'll journal about what I, you know, what comes up.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like things have changed for you, or you know, you've been more successful or happier or any of those kinds of things since you've been using those tools?
I always use those tools for self-discovery, and I think it helps you sharpen your intuition. I think one thing that I've been really leaning towards the past couple of years, because it was from astrology, there's something called the North Node that tells you where your life path is. Like, if you want to grow the most in this life, this is the path. And it's usually the most uncomfortable path, because it's like, you know, there's a south node that represents where you've been, and then the north node is where you're going. So learning that part of astrology, and that really opened my eyes to what I'm meant to do in the world. And then knowing that, like, I can do more things in the north node vein, if you know what I mean. Because, okay, so my south node is in Leo, which is the star, the one that wants all the attention, and then my north node is in Aquarius, which is about being independent, individual, not caring about what other people think of you, and also being innovative, pushing society forward. So you can see that in my life journey. I started out thinking I was going to go into music, thinking I was going to go into acting. Like, I had those like skills and gifts that I thought I was meant to be a star, but then now it's like, I'm learning, like, that's not my purpose. My purpose is really to get, like, help change the world in a different way. It's not about me. It's about, like, uplifting the people around me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Now, we spoke just before we started this podcast about the fact that you've been dabbling in numerology as well. And we discovered that your life path is a 5. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, I'm not biased or anything, but 5 might be the best life path. I am a 5 life path myself, so, you know, you take that as you will. But the 5 is all about sort of free-spirited adventure and sort of not fitting the mold, I suppose. How do you feel like you fit into that sort of description?
Oh, that so describes me, because I loved freedom. I love the feeling of being free. Like, that's why I chose to be my own boss, because I hate when people tell me what to do. Mm-hmm. And I just don't like restrictions. So I love freedom. And then I do feel like I'm quite adventurous, not super adrenaline junkie type adventurous, but I love travel. I love new cultures, exploring just new facets of life, learning new things. And what was the last one? The last one resonated with me. I think it was something about not caring.
Not conforming. Yeah.
That was a big lesson in my life, because I feel like I grew up listening to what parents and society taught me to do. And I was really living on autopilot as a person until I started thinking for myself in my early 20s. Yeah. And that was my lost moment where I was struggling a lot, and because I cared so much about what people thought of me, but I realized that my path was to not do what was normal in society's eyes, but to really carve my own path.
Absolutely. And one thing I would say, I don't know how far you've gone down sort of the numerology track just yet, is to look at sort of the other numbers in your chart as well. There's five. I'll actually send you a link.
I haven't seen that. Yeah.
So there's five core numbers in your numerology chart, and they really sort of can push and pull against each other. So for example, I just told you I'm a life path five, but I'm an expression number four, which basically means I'm constantly at this sort of push-pull where the five wants me to be a free-spirited adventurer and the four wants me to be a practical, grounded person. So it's constantly a struggle. Well, not a struggle, but it's something that I sort of manage. And it's the same with sort of looking at your sort of astrology chart, your
nature chart. I was going to say that. It's the same. There's so many different forces pulling and contradicting each other.
100%. So I'll send you a link, and for our listeners as well, I'll put that link in the show notes. Awesome. But it actually sort of brings me, what you just said there brings me to our community questions, because we had quite a few questions from our community. And one of them is about, you mentioned sort of you grew up with sort of family expecting you to go sort of one path. And one of our questions was, how do I follow my dreams when my family and friends don't support me?
Yeah, that was my big struggle too in my early 20s, because I didn't want to do what everyone was telling me to do. Everyone's just like, get a job, even if you don't love it, like you'll figure your way. And I was like, no, I know that's not the path for me. I need to create I want to do something creative, have my own thing. And it was hard, because when people don't believe in you or people doubt you, obviously it hurts. And I think that was the time where I had to learn to believe in myself, and I really had to work on my self-love, self-confidence, basically the relationship with yourself. And I almost say it's a blessing when people don't support you or believe in you. It just means that they don't see your vision for your life, and it's okay. And sometimes it's also because those people are projecting their fears and insecurities on you. They're scared to take risks in their life, and that's why they won't allow you to take risks in your life. They ultimately, if they're your loved ones, they love you and they just want you to be safe. They want the best for you, but they just can't see what you can see. So sometimes you just have to do it yourself and show them. And that journey, it might feel lonely, but you build such a strong relationship with yourself, and you learn to believe in yourself and support yourself without the need for other people's approval.
Yeah, that's such a powerful message. And the one thing that you know, people should take from that at least is the fact that you said, it's okay. Like, you know, yeah, it's okay to do what you want. It's okay that they're pushing back. It's all okay.
Ultimately, they do care about you. That's why they have an opinion. And another thing is, like, it might feel like the end of the world. Like, I thought I would never mend my relationship with my dad, for example, because we just did not see eye to eye on a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But now, further down the line, maybe because I found some success, he's like relaxed about it. Like, obviously, they're worried because they think you're going to fail. But you know, it'll be okay. Like, if this is not the end of the world, your relationship might change and it'll get better later.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So another question we had was, how do I let go of self-doubt when I'm still pushing and working towards my dreams?
Yeah. I mean, all of us have self-doubt. We all have fears. I think it's just a matter of, like, focusing on the positive voice in your head. And if most of the voices in your head are negative, that's a good place to start to check what are the thoughts that keep coming up every day. And an exercise I like to tell people to do is to spend a week literally catching any negative thing that you say about yourself. And when you notice yourself saying that negative thing, write it down in your notes on your phone. Keep a running list for about a week. And after a week, you'll notice it's the same thoughts that are coming up. And once you recognize what the thoughts are, you can then question it. Like, why do I tell myself this? Is this really true? Do I have to believe in this? Like, knowing that it's not serving me. And after that, you can replace it with a positive, gentle, encouraging, loving thought that you'd rather have in your mind instead. It really is about managing your mind, because self-doubt happens in your head. Like, you can have the people around you, like, praising you, thinking that you're, you know, giving you all the love and approval that you could need, but if you don't believe it in your mind, in, like, deep down, then that's where the problem lies. So it's all about Yeah, cleansing your mind.
And I think I like how you have sort of those practical approaches and those exercises towards everything.
I try to make everything with a little exercise.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you recently shared some exercises for figuring out what you wanted to do in life. Yeah. And the thing that really piqued my interest about those exercises was the one that was about finding your, is it your ikigai?
Ikigai, yeah.
Can you give us a bit of an overview about what that is?
Yeah, well, ikigai is a Japanese term. It means your reason for living. And the Japanese have created this, it's like if you imagine a Venn diagram, but with four circles, and there's like of a center where all the four circles meet. So it's this diagram where the four circles are what you love to do, what you are good at doing, what the world needs, and what you can be paid for. So you probably have answers in all four of these circles, but the sweet spots is where these four circles overlap. So if you could find something where all four of these things overlap, where it's a path where you love what you're doing, you're good at what you're doing, the world needs it, and you can be paid for it, that is a great clue to what you should be doing with your life, because it's like the best of all worlds.
Mm-hmm. And I think if you looked at most people's ikigai sort of diagrams, I don't think many would be living in that sweet spot, would they?
Yeah, it takes time to figure it out because it's not always obvious at first. But I do believe that it's possible, that it does exist. But a lot of people, they tend to find something that fits maybe two or three circles and not the fourth one. And then they either settle for a job that they're good at, but they don't love, you know, mm-hmm. Or even if you consider, like, if you find something that fits the three areas of you love doing it, you're good at it, and the world needs it, but you can't be paid for it, then if you can't be paid for something, that is just a hobby. Yeah. You know, so it's, yeah, I think it's definitely something everyone should keep reaching for.
Well, that's actually funny, because that was the next question I was just about to ask you. You know, those people who potentially are listening to this, they can, you know, maybe map out their own ikigai. If they find that they're not living in that sort of sweet spot, I take it you'd encourage them to find what that is.
Definitely. I mean, there's so much that you can explore. I think a lot of people are just unaware, or they don't take the effort to try to see what else is out there. There are so many career paths that you don't even know exist because it's so random and niche, but it exists, and it might be perfect for you depending on what your unique skills and gifts are. I truly believe we are all blessed with like a special set of skills and gifts and strengths that make us that allow us to give value to the world in a way that like you can build a career off of that. So my advice, because the path is different for everyone, so my best advice is to reflect and discover the gifts and strengths you have within, do the ikigai exercise, and go out there and just try things out and talk to people, learn, explore what's out there.
Mm-hmm. And I think we're in a great position in the world at the minute. You know, careers aren't what they used to be. You can pretty much, you know, that whole can you get paid for it, I would argue that, you know, if it hits all the other three but you can't get paid for it, there must be an innovative way that you can make sure you get paid for it.
Yes, even if it's creating a course around that thing and selling it to 10 people, or like there's so many ways, creative ways, that you can do this now.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So another one of our questions was, how do I know if I'm ready to start my dream life, and where do I even begin?
You can start your dream life anytime. You don't have to feel ready. When I say that, I don't mean like quit everything and move to a new place. Like, it doesn't have to be a drastic change. It could be a tiny, small change, even in the way you're changing your morning routine so that you're cultivating better habits. Like, that's a small thing that you can implement starting tomorrow. And that's one step closer to your dream life. So, I mean, what I like to do is tell people, first of all, you have to know what your big picture vision of your dream life, what you want it to be and feel like, and try to be as specific as possible, because the more specifics you have, the easier it is to implement. So if you can visualize all the details of what your ideal life is, then you can start going through that vision and be like, okay, I can start taking the steps to doing this, and I can start doing this and implementing that. And it's all about deciding what you want first. And I think implementing it, it's just a step-by-step process, mm-hmm. but it's possible.
Absolutely. Now, we've got another question, which I think probably our conversation on the Ikigai hits this quite well. But the question is, how do I find my life purpose? I'm 39 and I still have no idea about my calling.
Yeah, I think the Ikigai exercise will help. But I tend to see life purpose as like using what you have to give value to the world. And I think the hard part is getting specific about that. But at the same time, I used to want to be so specific about my purpose. Like my purpose is to create something that blah, blah, blah. Like it doesn't have to be specific. Your purpose is just to use what you have to give value, to do something for the world. And if you think about it like that, it could be, if you have free time, use your free time to do something nice out there. Or if you're really good at nurturing people, like use that skill in some way that fulfills you and helps other people out there too. It's just, yeah, everybody has their own unique set of skills. So it's getting to know what your toolkit looks like and then what you can do with it.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. And when you sort of said, you know, it doesn't have to be so specific, I suppose one life purpose could be to be happy. You know, if you feel happy and content, then that's sort of a sure sign that you're sort of on the right path, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, another question, which I think you'll like this question, is all about habits. And I know that you you sort of a bit of a stickler for habits. So
yeah.
The question is, what habits should I have in my life to make me more successful?
Oh, so many come to mind.
I thought you might say that.
Well, a lot of people, I love journaling and meditating. So I would say you need a habit that helps you pause and self-reflect, whether it's journaling, meditating, or doing yoga or doing something else, something that allows you time to breathe and reflect, because I think your best ideas and epiphanies come from those habits. So you always need to carve space in your life for space like that, if that makes sense. And then other habits of successful people are things like perseverance, patience, having a positive mindset. One mindset that I thought was really interesting is you can tell whether someone is going to be successful if they look at, so one person in a scenario looks at how far they have left to go, and then they feel like, oh my God, it's still so far off. Like it's going to be a hard journey. And then the other person looks back and looks at, oh my gosh, I've done so much. I've accomplished so much. I'm proud of what I'm not where I want to be, but I'm proud of how much I've already done. So those are two mindsets that you can have in a certain position. So the latter, the person who looks back and appreciates how far they've come, that's the person that is more likely to be successful, because you're more motivated when you look at your wins, when you pay attention to what you're proud of, what you appreciate, what you're grateful for.
Mm-hmm. And actually, a piece of advice that I was given sort of many years ago about pretty much that hits what you just said is about celebrating the wins. And, you know, yeah, if you can celebrate those small wins, you know, no matter how small they are, it can go a long way to flip the switch to have that mindset that you were just talking about.
Yeah, it's huge. It builds your confidence too.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Now, next question is all about sort of prioritizing. How can I prioritize when I'm so busy?
I still have this problem because I have so many things I want to do, but I usually like to brain dump everything that is on my mind, everything that I want to do. And then you just have to like ask yourself the important questions, like what is most important to me? And then another follow-up question is what item is going to have the biggest impact, like whether it's impact in the next year, next 3 years or 5 years or more, like those are the more important things that you probably should prioritize than the smaller urgent things that they seem urgent, but it's actually less important than those bigger things.
Yeah. Now I just wanted to talk about sort of what's happening in the world right now with all, you know, the sort of the COVID and the pandemic that's happening. The world is kind of a bit crazy, as everybody knows.
Mm, yeah.
How would you sort of advise people to sort of keep on track and keep positive and keep striving towards that dream when everything seems sort of in flux?
Yeah. I feel like we're definitely living in uncertain times, and it's crazy for everyone. But if you actually think about it, like, nothing in the world is predictable. Like, no one promised that things are going to stay normal, whatever normal really is. So I think we're realizing now that we always had this illusion of control and predictability. We always thought the world would be a certain way. We always thought we'd be able to go to school, go to work, or all this stuff. And then the world's telling us, like, nope, you've never had the control. Like, there's so much out there that you can't control. So during these uncertain times, the best advice I can give is focus on the things that you can control, which is your actions, your thoughts, just how you spend your time and your energy and attention. That's what's important. I think you have to focus your time, energy, and attention on things that are positive, that are serving you. Spend it on self-care, on talking to other people, connecting, doing something that makes you happy, that brings you joy. Don't spend too much time focusing on the chaos of it all. Reading the news, reading about, like, problems that you can't control. Yes, it's good to stay informed, but after a certain point, that information's not going to do, like, you're not able to do anything about it. So just focus on what's in your realm of control.
Absolutely. And with self-care being one of those, I just wanted to talk to you about that. I am notoriously bad at taking care of myself. Recently, I have sort of made myself, you know, have a bath, meditate, do some reading, do some journaling and those kinds of things. But we did have a question from one of our community members who was pretty much in the same boat as me and has asked, what are some quick and easy ways that they can practice self-care?
If you feel like you're such a busy person, the easiest, quickest self-care is to close your eyes and take 3 deep breaths, even 1 deep breath. Mm-hmm. like you just to let your give yourself a little bit something, and deep breathing, it already changes, like, the way your body feels and the way your mind just can relax in that moment. You don't have to spend like an hour on your self-care routine. It could be just anything, like 10 seconds on doing something nice for yourself. Just, you know, putting on skincare, lotion, that's simple self-care. And whenever you're doing any act of self-care, make it really intentional. As you're breathing, it's like, I'm inhaling love, peace, calm. I'm exhaling worry, stress, anxiety, anything that I don't need. Something I learned recently is, like, even when you're applying skincare on your face, or like, I'm washing off all the worries from my day, I'm exfoliating off like just flaws and things like that. And I'm nourishing my skin with love and care. You can make anything really intentional. And I think that it's just the intention behind it that matters.
And that's really powerful, isn't it? Because you're doing these things on a daily basis anyway. If you do them with intention, then it sort of changes the game, really. You're not feeling like you're spending extra time having to do
exactly things. You can already do it, like, what, everybody showers, right? Everyone takes a bath at some point in their week, so use that time to be intentional, like, I'm taking care of myself right now.
Okay, I think that's a really good place to end, Aileen.
Awesome.
Have you got anything else that you wanted to share with us, or anything else you're working on right now?
I mean, my main message is just to be kind to yourself and to others, because we're all figuring this out day by day, no matter what struggle you're going through. Just be gentle and we'll be okay. And if I were to share anything, just check out my YouTube channel at Lavendaire. And I have a shop where I sell stationery, and we talked about that, but the website is shop.lavendaire.com.
Excellent. And I'll link that in the show notes as well. Thank you so much, Aileen.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Numerologist podcast. If you loved it, make sure you subscribe, and don't forget to check the show notes for an extra special free gift.